Welcome to the GWB podcast. I'm your host Nikhil Rabindra. This week, we continue our conversation with Abin Shetty. As always, the follow-up episodes get our guests to think out loud, and we explore a variety of topics which bridge the gap between perception and reality. I hope you enjoy it. Welcome back to another episode. We are still talking with Abin Shetty here. And I'm going to just throw this into the deep end of this conversation. Abin Shetty, for some point of his life, went by the moniker of Bin Man. Abin, how did that happen?
I have no idea. I think it was an awkward name that basically came out. I think it was given to me by Aditya Hegde. I remember when Awkward was a thing, that brief period where Hi-Fi Awkward was like the ultimate social networks in our lives. And I think Bin Man, we had to give a name to ourselves that our parents couldn't find if they Googled us. So I think Bin Man was something that came out of there. And it became to this day, it is my PlayStation handle. So if anyone encounters a Bin Man on online while playing any sort of game, that's probably me.
Which is interesting, because you were Bin Man, Aditya yes. Hegde was the Hedgehog.
Yes.
And I, do you know what mine was?
Enkil.
Enkil. Yeah, Enkil. That was my rap
Enkil,
name.
Enkil, and you had like an album cover. I remember all of this, like, which, when I mean, we'll get to it, I'm sure. But when you were making music, there was an album cover with you standing in the darkness and the light is like shining, the light that's falling on you.
Yeah.
Was that not like the CPR, like CPR black and white kind of thing?
It was. So it was actually the old Mac photo booth filters back in the day.
Yes.
So it was me holding a guitar. I remember that, and it looked very creepy, but I wanted the picture. And I wanted to put that parental advisory label at the bottom.
Sign.
Yeah. Seeing that, I might swear on this podcast, on this song. There was no song, but it was there.
It was there. Yeah.
But you know,
I remember you.
Go ahead.
Your first version of when you wrote Karnataka Fication. One of the first few, I remember like listening to it outside gymnasium. You're like, bro, have you heard my song Karnataka Vacation? I think we're getting ready to go in for our boards.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell is happening?
No, so I did Karnataka Vacation. Then I think I spoofed Sweet Home Alabama to a song about our history syllabus about Second World War.
Oh, really? I haven't heard of. I heard of, you had like a version of Bad Day called High Day.
Yeah, you had a High Day.
Somebody flew away and we won't mention who.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying, so that was original Enkil. Like, so I used to write, Karnataka Vacation, which is a spoof of Californication, which holds a very deep relationship with a lot of people who have been on this podcast separately.
Yes, past. Of course. Yeah. I've listened to that episode. I've listened to the episode where that band performed for the first time. And
the last time.
I knew. And the last time. The last time was Whom the Bell Tolls. No, I've listened to, I don't know if this has come up on any of the other episodes, but I was there when that performance went to shit.
I was there too. But actually, that was...
Their fault. They hadn't been mic'd up.
No. I will... Let me put it this way. It went to shit, but I would just say the drums were impeccable.
Yeah. The drums, as per usual. So is the lead guitarist. I know most of the people in that band, now that I think of it. You all guys did a great job. Shafted by the largest.
I don't care about that. I just think the drums were amazing, because that is where I'm a stakeholder at. That's where my heart goes. That's all. Aditya Hegde is a great drummer. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, great drummer. Yeah, he was the one that pushed me into drumming. So,
There you go. But my Enkil. So, I'll tell you. So, the Enkil story happened where, like, so I would write Karnataka Vacation. Sweet Home Alabama became. So, instead of big wheels keep on turning, I said, Nazi Stasis keep on fighting or something. I said some stuff like that. But So, and you know, the funniest thing is that there was no, like, some people are like, oh, bro, you're trying to be some wannabe Weird Al. Maybe you only would have said, because nobody else would have known what Weird Al was back
I
in the
did
day.
not know of Weird Al till a full year later. I think 2007, when we were in 11th standard, is when I was introduced to Weird Al. So I wouldn't have known by then.
So somebody else told me what Weird Al was. Oh,
No.
you know, I think I know who it was. It was probably one of the best guitarists we know, maybe Prakash.
Yes. Oh.
And he was like, you're doing Weird Al stuff. I'm like, I do not know what that means. So I had to like LimeWire Weird Al and figure out who that is.
Yes. It was that time, yes.
So I got that. And then, because you know, there was also, now I'm going back, like, I mean, I'm deep dive into this world of my pop culture, but Weird Al was still very foreign, but you would hear things like Hotel Keralafonia,
Yes.
which was like, it's such a lousy place, such a lousy place, such a
It's
big
such a
disgrace.
yes.
Then we had Welcome to India
I
by
am a Yeah, what is that guy's name?
Luda Krishna and Vikram MC.
Luda Krishna, yeah. Then I'm a Malayali to I want to
I
break
want to break
free.
free.
Like,
Yeah, I yeah
yeah,
I
I
am
remember
a
those.
yeah. It's like, I am a Malayali. I want to drink brandy.
I wear pink lungi, something along those lines.
Yeah, so like, you know, like, so that's, so it's so funny. Like, now I'm going back into that aspect. The first month when I went to college in America in Georgia Tech, I met one of my closest friends in life, even now, Safir Siddiqui, who came from Bangladesh, in Dhaka. And he apparently, even today, his friends tell him that tell me about him that he used to write all these spoof songs. And I'm like, wait a
Well,
minute, how does that exist?
what are the
And then there was we wrote a spoof about a gentleman from the capital city of India, who was also there, who was very fascinated with the internet speed because he could access websites which stream now without any interruptions.
odds?
Right, I mean, it may have words from the song Californication in the name of a website, but yeah. So we changed the Beatles song Across the Universe to call it Across the Internet, and it was the funniest thing we did. And like, again, the coping mechanism to write spoofs in school became a niche thing for me in a new country, in a new institution, in a new college. And I made a lifelong friend because his story with writing funny songs and my story of writing puns as well, was the coolest thing we did in the first 2 months of being in college.
Kind of insane, right? I feel like when you find somebody with who you have such good synergy, it's always great. And I know that by the time we were graduating, music was becoming a bigger part of your life
Yes.
because you had obviously the spoof songs, but then came like scoring, and we were both a big, not a big, I wasn't as more you were, and that relationship. Also carried over to Georgia Tech, right? Given what happened with Tal Tadka and the music that came with it. But in school, I remember you scoring Vansharaj's first sophomore attempt. I mean, not sophomore, his debut, Yours Unfaithfully. And then his sophomore also you scored, which you were in at some point. I was watching it the other day and I was laughing. But because we all looked like rightfully so, we look like children in those movies, right? So, but I remember the whole ambient score that you'd made for Yours Unfaithfully, and like I see that, and for me that was, for you, with regards to you, was that was the starting point of your musical journey, and to see that how far you've come along is pretty damn cool.
No, I mean, again, so I think the reason I wanted to get this whole conversation on record is the, I think we used to call it, it used to be called Whetstone Productions, right? That's what it was called.
Yes.
So going back to our conversation in the previous episode where we spoke about not being selected by the institution or by whatever, right? I think finally, I don't know if we could call ourselves outcasts, because I think after, by the time we finished school, we felt very comfortable in each other's company, that we didn't need to
Yes.
feel we were outside anywhere. But I really enjoyed the fact that at some point we took matters in our own hands and said, we're going to do this.
Yes.
We don't have to be in a competition. We don't have to do any of that stuff. We're just going to do this, right? We said, like, someone said, I have a camera. Someone said, I know how to direct. I know how, someone said, I know how to act. I said, I'll make some music. And we just made it happen. So I think,
Yeah,
like,
it was
yeah.
going
Oh,
on.
I was about to say that I feel like I think I joke, like, I mean, I always brush it aside, saying that yeah, that was a an interesting phase of life or like whatever, right? Like, oh yeah, we made short films and whatever. Like, even in Movin's episode, he's like, there was that filmmaking group, you were in that or what? I'm like, yeah, of course, like, founding member, right? But I think what I really liked about that conversation which we had was, I mean, that grew that whole exercise, right? We made a couple of good movie films in our head. I mean, we had fun doing it, to be very honest with you.
Yes.
But right, but at the same time, that was never going to win an Oscar. But at the same time, if you look at least three of us in that group, branched out deeper into it, right? So I would say, like, I mean, like
Yeah.
you. Like you, I mean, like would you be called actor slash executive producer, or producer on in that particular
Yeah,
entity?
executive producer. I was the narrator. I mean, I just brought the camera and like I fought with Vanshesh. That was my role.
Yeah.
I'd tell Vanshesh, you stop doing this stupid shit. He would be like, you have no idea what you're doing. And it was just
Yeah.
I was like helping Vanshesh with most things as well,
Yeah.
and more so with chemical reaction. But it was just more about he'd like, okay, you have a voice, we'd like you to narrate. And I remember like really rushing through the narration, which is why it sounds god awful if you listen to it today, because I did it in a hushed room while there was chaos raging outside.
Yeah.
So just so many of those things, you know, we cobbled that entire thing together over one weekend, or like this was 11th, so I just towards the end of the year where we had like half days, so we would shoot after it.
Yeah.
I would made an appearance randomly on the in the film, but it was basically Shyam and Vanshaj who were
Yeah.
the leading stars at the time, right?
Yeah. So let's go back to the way you look at the way you made friends early on in school. If you can classify your friends, how would you classify them? Like, how would you describe your friends?
I have my friends. The one through line that runs through all of them are extremely grounded people. They may be frivolous, some of them may be a little over the top, but at their core, they're extremely grounded people. And I've been very lucky to have that core friend circle in my life. And the way I've stumbled onto them is all by chance. Like it's just life for me, especially with my friendships, is I ended up in a classroom with you. I ended up in a classroom with Vanshaj. I remember when me and Adi first met and we like absolutely clicked, and then he had to be moved to another classroom, and we kind of still up we've been friends ever since. So it's just I've run into people at different points in my lives, and they've never left. Like they've just shown up, and I'm able to have, I think I classify my friends as somebody who I can have an actual conversation with. It never feels forced or frivolous, and that is something I always look for in my company.
But
Yeah.
the perception of you, right? I think you and I think your perception in life, even post school in general, I think the perception of you and the person you are very different is what I feel, unless people really know you.
Yes.
How and again I want to again I picked the perceived flamboyance in your appearance, as an example over here. So, like, my point is, like, what is the most bizarre comment you have received on your appearance during school?
At the time, nobody really like thought about it. Like wearing pink shirts and pink tops was considered to be feminine, in some sort of way, which is insane given how every guy today has a pink shirt in his wardrobe, right? Because it was just one of those, it for me, and I remember my mom who gave me one of these shirts said, "It enhances your complexion, wear it." And that's really how it began, right? But I know people had issues with it, and not so much in school, but it also happened when I went to like undergrad for college, where I wore a pink shirt and people were just like, "Oh, what are you wearing? Like, why are you wearing pink? This, that." And it never really bothered me. I think what I've realized from a perception perspective, there was a point where when I was 14 or 15, where it kind of used to bother me a little bit. Because you're at that age, you don't want people saying shit behind your back. But the older you got, the more I understood that everybody's saying some shit or the other about you
No,
in some
that's no,
capacity.
but Abin, that's wisdom. I'm saying, like, my point is, I think the reason we are where we are right now is because we're very secure in our choices, right?
Yes.
So that is fine. I'm just trying to figure out, like what I'm trying to say is, like, the reason I'm trying to have this conversation with you is, I think it's not more of an expose of trying to say, hey, this guy said I'm this, or this that guy said I'm that, but it's also half the guys who might have made fun of you would have worn some shade of pink for their sangeet or their wedding when they got married. But what bothered you at that time a bit?
Like, nobody likes hearing shit about themselves, right? Whatever capacity, no one likes. And especially at 14, 15, you are very like, now I can reason with it being like, because you're so full of hormones and you're all over the place. You're just trying to like, you tend to snap very quickly. But with regards to, at the time, you don't like being made fun of. I think 9th and 10th particularly was a very, like a hostile period in our lives. 11th and for 11th and 12th, it kind of soothed a little bit because I think the class kind of answered each other's dynamics. But leading up to about 10th grade, we were just kind of like a little on tenterhooks because anything could go off at any time.
Correct.
And people were always looking for, what do you call, were always looking for something to gain an advantage over you. It wasn't even the clothing that really mattered as much as it was, let's say, in class. Like, I would use my hands to explain concepts or like ask questions for teachers, and that was something people were like, look at his hands, the way they move, or like
Yeah,
they just needed something.
if your wrist can move more than 90, like more than 90, like 60 degrees in any direction,
Yeah,
gay.
exactly, stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
It's just generally when, and that, funnily enough, was how, before Bin Man, I was explainophreniac because I had to like explain concepts to certain
Oh,
people.
I
And even
forgot
now
about
with this,
that. I forgot about that.
yeah,
So,
and
oh, so
that
that's
really
what, oh,
came,
that's the origin story of
explainophreniac. Yeah, so that's
explainophilia.
how it
Yeah.
came from. Yeah, it's still my, I think my Facebook URL is still explainophreniac. I haven't bothered changing it. But one of those things where even now when I'm on podcasts, my hands still go like in different, like they go in directions because I like, it's visualizing what I'm trying to explain. And I remember that being something people really picked on. And it became a point where somebody tried to make an issue of it. And I don't usually correct people on issues, but when I do, they remember it. And it kind of died there. I think the guy got the point. But it was it I remember, it's just like you're trying to one up the other guy, and you try and use whatever this thing you can find. Even with my closest friends, we've had some really like nasty arguments, which I kind of tend to move past, and luckily they've had to move past, we've all moved past as well. So it's just, I think at the time you're combating a bunch of emotions all at once, and I guess you're doing what you have to at that point.
No, fair. I mean, like, because I think, yeah, I mean, like, I think we're all guilty. I'm guilty, definitely. And, like, again, like, I didn't understand the flamboyance to a certain extent because it, like, again, I think I cut this out in a different podcast, but, like, I used to be terrified to wear non-uniform clothes in front of my school friends because, like, that's when, like, your ex I felt like wearing non-uniform clothes exposed you in a certain way, right? Because like in a uniform, like what's the worst in a uniform? You'll wear your pant lower or higher. Even with that, there were people who like decided that their belt had to touch their nipples. So we're like, so you know exactly, you saw the image in your head right now.
I know who you're talking about also.
exactly, right? See, we're still these mean people. But you also had other people where. You also had other people where like your belt was basically like a seat for your butt cheeks, right?
Yes.
So you can see that person in your mind as well. So like for me, I think now I'm thinking back, like every time we had this color clothes and all that, like you know the anxiety of deciding what to wear because you know like okay, let me put it this way. If anybody wore anything like what do you think would be cool? Like now, you can wear a nice polo or whatever, but back then you had to wear a t-shirt or something which had a useful cartoon. I can't wear a Powerpuff Girls t-shirt, right? It has to be SWAT cats or something like that. And then like you have to decide whether you're wearing a pant or you're wearing jeans. I mean, not you, because you decided you'll go like you rocked the 3/4 pants or whatever you want to call it, like nobody else, now that I look back. So you were actually our fashion icon a bit, now that I think about it.
Oh, no, far from it.
No, but because you broke trends. So you know what I'm trying to say, like my point is, like the only person who could pull off a 3/4 like was you, right?
Okay, damn, yeah.
I would wear like a convertible, you know the ones which we used to wear, these cargos or whatever, where you had
Yeah,
the
which would
zip.
turn into like shorts. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
I would wear that to know that with like so that for me that was like a cool thing to be like, if I really need to be cool with shorts, I can like remove that zip. But I think for me, like I think the anxiety of wearing something which is not a uniform was real. And I think you, in your strength, or whatever it was, rocked it out. Back then I was like my point is I would wear something which I would have put in hours of thought and whatever not, and then I will sit and judge you to be like, why is he wearing that shit?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things where it became like I very quickly realized. So because what would happen for me was from an older generation, I think I would get compliments on certain outfits. So it never really translated, even if like the school kids were like being a little mean or judgmental about it never really translated to it. I was like, yeah, it is what it is. I felt like generally, and I think this basically comes from, I think, just home, right? The only time I've ever questioned my fashion sense is if, let's say, if somebody who that I know has a great sense of fashion points out something. And then you're just like, okay, if you're saying it, I get it. But if like somebody whose sense of fashion is a black shirt and jeans, I'm just like, cool. I mean, that's not your sensibilities. I get it. So it never really that. Never really bothered me.
Before we cut to the break, I want to like maybe do one more deep dive. Like basically, like the outward impression of you was happy-go-lucky. What I'm trying to say is like if I grew up with my own fears, anxieties, getting yelled at or beaten for bad marks or whatever not for every single thing. But my perception of you until I knew you better, right? Was this is this happy kid who comes with. Oh, by the way, Aditya Hegde mentioned that he used to enjoy the biryani you brought to school at some point. So kudos
Yes,
to
not
whoever made
just
that.
him, it was everybody, right? It became a thing in classrooms where I would know for a fact, like Sunday at home is biryani day. And by the time I would get back from assembly and I take it to bring it to school on Mondays, by the time we got back to class, I'd pick up my lunchbox and even without opening it, I could hear the bones rattling inside it. It was just one of those things
No,
where you
so
knew, okay, the box had been cleared out.
no, that's what I want to pick up on, right? So like in our head, again, right, it's a perception thing which I kind of want you to address, because like in my head, like this is this tall, fair boy, happy fan, like you know, like always smiling, happy family, brings the tastiest food, so on so forth. Does he ever get sad?
No, he got sad a lot.
What
We
is
all
what
get sad, and
No, but in that era, in that time,
What were time like? What was something that you can share with me which did not match the persona I just built?
Generally, you're always trying to keep up with people while trying to figure out what it is that you're good at. And when you fail at a bunch of things and you still can't figure out what you can't, what you're supposed to be good at, it really puts a question of doubt in your head if you're good at anything at all. And that for me was a big thing I struggled with for a very long time. I grew up in a very strict household. I grew up in a super strict household, and the law was the law, right? So it's just one of those things. And I've had like my fair share of experiences there. And I would try and not, and on the bad days, I would try and not carry that to school. Because like growing up, you kind of have like a it's a bit of a tense situation, especially in your teenagers. And my bad days were would like I would snap. And I think for me, I had a big temper issue growing up early, and which is kind of insane to say now, because for the people who know me, have most
Which
of them
is
have never seen me angry.
that's what I'm asking. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't
Most of
think
them
of
have
you with a
never seen
temper.
me.
Yeah, I can't think of
Yeah,
you with a temper.
exactly. And but every time I got into an argument or a fight, I would invariably cause more damage to the other person than I'd actually intended to. So in a way, I was very conscious of my anger and and the rage and whatever stuff that whenever I'd get upset, I was very conscious of it because I knew what kind of damage it would have. So I generally played it very, I would not let myself get that upset. And if I did get upset, I would like find an avenue to kind of channel it in some way or the other, because it's just how I was brought up. But sad days, a lot of sad days, dude. Like a lot of sad days. And
Do you remember a
I'd like
Saturday?
I remember, yeah, I mean, depends on what kind of sad day we're looking at. Are we looking at a sad day where you're just like confronted with who you are, or is it like an experience
Give me one.
with
Give
somebody?
me some concrete examples if you feel like. And just
Okay,
like.
sure. You know what? Okay, now I think enough time has passed, and this is a kind of a little funny story I look back upon, and I think you know this also to a certain degree. I remember like this is what I like this is, we all have our first instances of heartbreak, and I don't think as guys we speak about heartbreak as much. So let's talk about this. So there was this point where I met this girl and we really got along. And up until this point, I hadn't really like ever asked anyone out, and I think this was the first time I was going to do it. And I'd kind of plucked up the courage because it's a terrifying concept, right? Asking somebody out, like, what did they say? No, I've no, you've never faced rejection. What's that going to feel like? All of that, right? Right. But you kind of pluck up the courage, and I did pluck up the courage to ask this girl out. And I remember clear as day, I was walking past the Sweet Chariot on Residency Road. And I picked up the phone and she answered, and she was jubilant on the other end. She's like, "You won't believe what just happened." And I was like, "What happened?" And she's like, "This guy like in my school asked me out." And I was like, "Oh, that's amazing. What do you say?" And she's like, "I said yes." And I could feel like my heart dropped through my body. But you kind of had to keep up appearances. You're just like, "Yeah, oh, that I'm really happy for you," and all of that. And I just remember feeling absolutely devastated. Like in that moment, I think after about a day or two, I was just like, "Hey, whatever." But that in that moment, it felt like somebody had taken a bat and whacked you on the chest with it. And I think for me, that was probably like my first real instance of heartbreak outside of being in relationships that haven't really done well. But that was just like the first, "Oh, this is what it feels like."
No, I mean, that's great. I mean, the only reason I was pushing on this is because I just want to, for everybody who knows you and people think that you have a an injection of happiness which you like take every morning, I just wanted to like break that persona a little bit.
No, yeah, no. I mean, as much as that persona, as nice as it is, it's not always the case, guys. I have bad days. I have very bad days. I have days where it takes me ages to like just roll out of bed, much like you, much like anybody else. We've all had a particularly difficult decade in some way or the other.
That's true.
Everyone has had their challenges, and I am no different. We have like an inner monologue that kind of runs, that wreaks rampage on certain days. So I am no different. We all have our bad days. I'm very much with you on those days.
Okay. So you used the word inner monologue. I'm going to hold that as a point. When we take our break right now and we come back, we're going to pick up from that. So let's take another break. Sure. We'll be right back.
I am big. It's the pictures that got small.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Two Please is a weekly podcast on all things pop culture hosted by Abin Shetty and Rohit Rao. It is available on all streaming platforms in both video and audio format.
Except it's a terrible day for rain.
Check out Two Please to get your fix on pop culture.
In case I don't see ya. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
So we're back again with Abin. And as you might have realized, the conversation is getting a lot more interesting over here. So Abin, I'm going to go again into the deep end. Let's talk about all the other people in your family who went to school with you or before you.
Yes.
Let's talk about the captaincy problem. Right. So
yeah, the captaincy problems. Yeah. So yeah.
Let's give a background first. No. So
sure.
So who was the first Shetty captain of Bishop Cottons?
I mean, if you have to really go back, it would probably be one of my uncles back in the day. But in like in the
recent history,
recent history would probably
Abhijit is first.
Abhijit would probably be the first,
right? So
Abhijit was def. Yeah, Abhijit followed by Varun, followed by Anish. I think those are the three school captains.
Right. So I mean, I'm just like again, just to like paint this out to the. I mean, paint the image out for everybody. And like we gave you a lot of crap for this, right? So that's the reason.
Oh yes, of course. It was just a thing. Yes.
Right. So so this is basically like an anti-gangster Vasipur, like Bapka, Dada ka, sabka captaincy lenga tera bin, like that's kind of a thing. But but so just to explain this to everybody listening, right? And it is what it is. So like you had. You come from the Shetty family of prefects and captains, right? So Abhijit Shetty is one of your older cousins. He was school captain, played basketball. He was an athlete. I think he went to Cardiff, if I'm not mistaken, in Wales.
He did for some time, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Great dude. I mean, we all looked up to him saying, wow. Like he was in the dream team basketball team. Like there were two Abhijits, him and Abhijit Puncha, which I spoke to Hegde about recently. So he was one. Then I think there came Varun Shetty, right? And then like, I mean, so again, right, he was Thomas Howard's school captain, had a good heart, no pun intended, because of the family. It was there. I had to make it. Right. But I think yeah. So he was a captain. So Shetty one, Shetty two. His younger brother Anish, also he's a year older than us. He also was made school captain. Very vague memory about him being a very good photographer or an interesting photographer, because he took a very cool picture of a parrot in Laval Road, and it really sticks in for some reason. Again, school captain. So obviously, boys will be boys. And we were like, hey, you'll also become school captain. Oh, Shetty, 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 Shetty. And then I think we all knew you were not going to become captain. No, I've been like, even you knew.
Yes.
That, right.
Yeah, very well.
Right. And we were just being mean. We were being really stupid and mean about it. But I'm pretty sure, like, what was going on in your life, not in your head, but in your life when these things were happening?
Funnily enough, the captaincy thing never bothered me, because And I was just trying to keep up with with my cousins, right? Generally, like the captaincy was probably the pinnacle of their achievements. It was just everything else about them, the way they carried themselves, the way they were in class, the way they were, getting some sort of, like the way they were scoring in school. And that was used as a measuring stick. The captaincy thing never bothered me. It bothered me because from a very early on standpoint, I was very clearly not in favor with certain decision makers because I very much catered to being, I walked a path less traveled, let's just say that, right? I wasn't naughty, I wasn't a troublesome child or anything of that sort. It was just different compared to them. And I remember this one of my favorite teachers now, Mrs. Ghosh, she pulled me aside saying, "I have taught all your brothers and I don't like the arrogance that you have."
Oh, really?
And this was
Okay.
the, yeah, this was the second day of me being in her class, and she had taken this
48
very
hours.
strict approach to me.
48 hours.
Huh?
Not even
Yeah, four.
not 48 hours. 1.5 hours. I mean, like, no, 30 minutes was one class. You're saying that in 30 minutes plus another 10 minutes, she made a
Yeah,
decision.
basically, like she made a decision about it, right? But then the more she got to know me, and this has been the case with all the teachers who had issues with me in the start, the more she liked me. And to this day, like if I reach out to her, she remembers me fondly, right? She's like, "Hi, Abin, how are you?" And she real and it was just a scenario of me getting to know getting to know my teachers and them getting to know me. It continued through college, and everybody always had this opinion that I was this this guy that didn't really care. And but it was just a very shy kid that didn't want to engage. And but if I spent enough time with the teachers, they understood who I really was. But it came to certain decision makers in certain positions. I was, it was like I didn't have that time. So they always that image of me is what carried them through.
Do you
I
feel that,
was.
sorry, I just wanted to ask you a quick question here before you were saying that. Do you feel that you didn't fit the Cartonian Shetty template, and that's the reason a lot of people just dismissed you faster?
Yeah, I was that kid who would forget his things, hair would be long, just one of those, like I wasn't the conventional, what do you call, example of like what my family would represent. But my family never made it an issue. Like I'll say this, Abhijit looked after my ass in more ways than I could possibly tell you. I remember sixth was a difficult time because that jump from junior school to middle school can be a little challenging. And there were certain people who were trying to bully me, and Abhijit just had to happen to be walking by, and he was like, this shit will not fly." And I remember him really standing up for me. And that whole batch, as a matter of fact, him, Punja, I think Nishok David also was the same batch, if
Oh
I'm not mistaken.
yeah.
The basically like all those guys were real, Karan, I forget his last name, Vadwani. Oh, Dhanwani,
Anwani.
Raj, Raj was in that class. I think Vivek's brother Karan was also in that batch. Really nice guys. Nobody ever, decided to like ever brought it up as a thing, saying, "Oh, you're not doing this, you're not doing that." My cousins knew who I was, and to this day they like me for who I am. So it was not like, this. It was just me trying to keep up with them because I just wanted to achieve, and I wanted my folks to feel nice about their son. And some, in a way, like from a leadership perspective, like the 2 years where I was up for nomination were teachers who had some issues with me.
Of course,
So it didn't happen. Yeah. And I'd laughingly poke fun at the people that took the shit really seriously. I remember being like our first, we were in 11th, and I think we went to watch a debate competition. And somebody was telling one of the people who was vying for school captain the next year that, "Hey, dude, whatever happens, if it comes to a vote, we're all voting for Abin." That guy got so pissed off. And I could see him ranting and raving from the corner of the row. But it never really mattered to me. I think it was more about me just trying to, outside the designation, just trying to, what do you call,
I've been the debate thing now, actually. I was around, I think. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm looking back at that. Oh, I
Nobody
can.
remembers that. No, yeah, nobody. It would have been the most memorable thing of that
No,
evening,
no. I know the
if not
look.
for.
I know that look in that face. Yeah. Like, yeah, I will never be this lucky to remember what that face looked like. But it was, yeah, it was there.
Yeah, I remember
Yeah.
this, and I think it would have been something we all to this day would speak about, if not for, and I don't, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying this, if not for our first introduction to Karan Sondhi. So
Yeah.
I think this was where like the inter-house debate competition was happening, and Karan accidentally swore on stage and he went, "Oh shit, oh fuck."
Yeah, I
And we
remember
just
that. Yeah.
burst out laughing. So
Yeah.
this was one of those times.
Okay, so I've been like the leadership, captain conversation, all that aside, do you still feel that you have to catch up with them?
I did, and I think for many years, I think a few years after is when I finally made peace with it. I was like, this is who I am. These are things I'm good at. Some of them cannot be measured on an academic report, and that's okay. And that was really it, because there was another cousin of mine who came right after. And to be perfectly honest, if anybody deserved to be captain, it was him. Because this dude is a fucking phenomenon. He's one of the nicest human beings you'll meet, but is also one of the most accomplished people that I know today. You can't beat him. He's just too damn good. And he was, and when he didn't get the house captaincy, the school captaincy for whatever it was, I was like, wow, that was a really like horrible situation. And I think in spite of that, and because of how he took it, and how like he just said, screw it, I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna do well in my career regardless of this. It was an inspiration for me, because I at to a certain point was just like, okay, you start to doubt yourself, but then when you kind of just say, you kind of put all the things to the side and you just move forward, and just focus on the things you're good at, it really goes a long way for you personally.
No, and I know who that is also. Like, I mean, we'll shout out them another time. No, so you mentioned just now that you made peace with it at some point. When exactly was that? When did you make peace with it?
I think by 11th and 12th, by the time I got to 11th, like this was just background noise. 11th and 12th, because I think by 11th I had found quizzing, and I was like, you know what? I'm good at this shit. I'll focus on this. The rest of you can just like do whatever you need to do. This is my niche. And I've always been like that. Now I try not to compare myself to most people. I look at people within a particular niche and say, okay, I would like to be like that person. I admire the something about, I either love their ethic, their aesthetic, something or the other, right?
Yeah.
And now basically that's kind of how I've come to reason with certain things. Like when it comes to titles or just wide recognition, it doesn't faze me as much anymore. As a matter of fact, even I tell this to people who listen to our podcast. If five of you listen to an episode, I'm the happiest man in the world. Like, just I don't care. As long as somebody out there is comes up to me and says, one person comes up to me and says, dude, I loved it. It was like hanging out with my friends. Somebody the other day very randomly off the cuff came to me and said, you're the Two Please Pod guy. And I was like, I'm surprised you even know. Like, what the hell? And she's like, no, yeah, I found you on like a YouTube recommendation, and it's like, you have made my week or my month even. And that's all I need. I don't need the flashy titles or the roles. It was it maybe up to about 9th or 10th, it was kind of like
Yeah.
it played some part in just in trying to form your self-esteem, but then it very quickly moved on.
No, I agree because the same thing, even though my podcast is a lot more you, I mean, at an infant stage compared to what you've been doing, I've been noticing every week there'll be one old friend who will put in the effort to send me a message out of the woodworks, be like, hey man, long time, been listening. It's a great, like, I'm not great at this wrong. Like, different people will be like, oh, I remember this, I remember that. And, you know, it, and my point is someone put in the effort to go to their phone or their computer and be like, I need to reach out to this guy and tell him that I like this. Do you know the amount of, you know, the amount of cognition you have to put to say that I want to reach out to somebody and not complain about something?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just nice. And then we reach out. So I know where you're coming from in a milder way, but I do understand what it is. So you have made peace. You have made peace with it, which is what I was curious about, because I think the reason I exposed this theme a little bit was, I think everybody growing up, we always were compared, right? We were always compared to be a certain, like, why you're not like this and that person and all that. I think in my head, and this is quite new for me as well, right? I think maybe in only in the last 3-4 years, I have come to the concept of I need to be the best Nikhil Rabindra in the world, because that's what is in my control. I cannot become the best Abhin Shetty.
Yeah.
Right. So it's definitely, I mean, and it gives you a lot more peace, right? Because like, if you know that you can do what you do is only you, it gives you so much peace, and you get, I mean, people talk about, you know, like following social norms, getting married, having your children, buying a house, this, that, you know, making millions and billions of dollars and everything else. But end of the day, if you just wake up excited and go home and go to sleep content, I mean, you win. So that's kind of what I struggle with it, and I also find peace with it. So I don't think you find peace with it in one go, but at the same time,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I think primarily because of how we've been engineered to accept certain milestones at certain times in our lives.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I mean, you and I are famously unmarried at this point.
Yeah.
There are people who are married, who have children, who have kind of settled, right?
And it doesn't matter. Some days you look at it. It doesn't matter. Yeah, yeah. So like my point is I think they're trying to be the best version of themselves or whatever they think it is. And I think we are striving to be the best version of ourselves. But
yes,
to wrap up this theme, Abhin, I just wanted to say that the more I talk to you, I realize that unfortunately, the way systems are built, a lot of people's strengths, what they're good at, cannot get validated. So
sure,
if you have to be good in 5 or 6 things, and if you're not good in that, but you're good in the 7th thing, you're not good.
You need to brute force your way into like being accepted. That's my thing.
That's true.
My thing is, you need to, even if someone tells you that this is not something you can be good at, or this has no future, whatever, that entire process can be very debilitating, can be very disheartening, but you need to kind of brute force your way through it, not let it affect you as much. Take it in through one ear, out the other. And then you're like, yeah, okay. And then at the end of the road, or even like at the end of that struggle, you're just like, see, I told you it was worth it. And then the validation comes, but you need to like have the strength to carry on through the tough days.
Oh, correct, Andy. Yeah. Okay. So we will, how about this? I'm going to make an exception, not even an exception, because I feel like we're not even scratched the surface too much, but usually I do a 2-episode podcast series with every friend, but I feel like we have a lot more to go to. So we will close this theme here, and then we will probably talk for a little bit more for another episode right after this. So let's wrap it here, and thank you everybody for listening so far. This is not over. We will have another one next week. Thank you.
That brings us to the end of the second part of my conversation with Abhin. As you've realized, we're not yet done, so tune in next week for a bonus episode. Until then, goodbye.